Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Our becoming shrewd managers of money was the point of a parable of Jesus in Luke chapter 16. The lesson is clear. We need to use worldly wealth in a way that brings eternal dividends. Today, what really happens when your check hits the offering plate? From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on investing for eternity. Turn again to Luke chapter 16 for more about how to invest with your ROI in mind.
When the offering baskets are passed at Moody Church, what I like to think of it as, it's something like a mutual fund, investing in a mutual fund. Because you know that when you're giving, you're investing in children's ministries, in family ministries. You're investing in the lives of young people, singles, college students, professional people. You're investing in the lives of missionaries around the world. And in that sense, we are all committed together, and we are seeing lives changed, lives that will meet us in everlasting habitations. I'm sure that this is true of you too, but in addition to giving to Moody Church, Rebecca and I support missionaries, other missionaries as well. I'd like to think that when I get to heaven, there'd be at least one person who would rejoice and say, thank you for your gift and the impact that it had in my life. Talking about your return on investment, your ROI, you invest in eternity when you give to the transformation of lives. There's a third principle. The first is that we don't own it. The second is we must transmute it. The third principle is money is a basis for testing. Money is a basis for testing. First of all, let's look at how Jesus viewed money. We already commented on the fact that he referred to it as the wealth. You'll notice he says dishonest wealth. He says, the master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. The sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. Make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth. You know, the old King James, God bless it, it had a different kind of language, but here the King James used to translate it, filthy lucre. We may not know the meaning of that exactly today, though you should. I just read a week ago that 95% of all the bills in circulation in the United States have a drug residue on them. The money that you kept today back from the offering plate probably at some time was drug money. Now, what's wrong with calling it filthy lucre? What Jesus is doing is reminding us of the deception of wealth. And then he calls it something else, a little thing. You'll notice it says, one who is faithful in very little, verse 10. Very little. I have to smile. Money is, to Jesus, very little. What do you mean is very little? To the world, it is huge. You live for it. You die for it. You scheme for it. Get it legally if you can, illegally if you must. But above all things, get it. It is huge. Jesus said, it's a little thing. And then he makes this statement. He says how we should use it. Dr. Haddon Robinson, who preached a message on this passage that I heard many, many years ago, talked about the deception of our heart regarding money. And we are all deceived and wanting to be deceived. You know, the Bible says that there's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money, right? So we say to ourselves, well, you know, I have money, but I don't love money. Mind you, I date it. I kiss it. I think about it all the time. I'm always wondering about it, but I don't love it. Oh, no. not me. We deceive ourselves, don't we? And then Jesus made this amazing statement. If you are faithful in very little, you are faithful in much. If you are dishonest in very little, you are dishonest in much. You remember Stuart Briscoe? He worked at a bank in London, and the bank manager wanted him to do some cheating. And Stuart said to him, "If I steal for you, what makes you think that I will not steal from you?" Right? You're dishonest in that which is very little. You're dishonest also in that which is much. If you have not been faithful in unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? Jesus is saying that money is a test of the true riches, which has to do with ruling with Jesus Christ in the kingdom, which are really what the rewards spoken of in Scripture are. And this business of money is a test as to where you will be slotted in the kingdom. Why is it that oftentimes we do experience downturns financially? Why is life so hard? Why is it that we don't know where we are going to get enough money to pay our bills? One reason is this, that it is almost impossible to develop worshipers in an affluent society. It is poverty, it is financial need that keeps driving us toward God. But in the midst of it, Jesus is saying, you have to be faithful in that which is little, or else I'm not going to entrust the true riches to you. How can you be faithful in one area or unfaithful and expect me to bless you in the other area? As providence would have it, this past week I spoke to the treasurer, or someone who was the treasurer of a small church out west, a church of 80 people. Because he was a CEO of a big company, they asked him to be the treasurer. And as he began to look at the church's policies, he discovered that some of them were wrong. For example, the pastor had a parsonage that was given to him by the church, and that was not considered to be income, when strictly speaking, it should be. So that when he signed his income tax form and said that he was making this much money, actually, it was a lot more. When the treasurer pointed this out to the people, they just were irritated, and their whole point was, why are you bothering about, obviously it's not going to affect the IRS. The government's got tons of money. It's giving hundreds of billions of dollars away. It must have. That's said with a smile. But at any rate, why are you just irritating us by these details? It's a little thing. So let's all agree today, it's just a little thing. All right, now let's read the words of Jesus. One who is faithful in very little, ouch, is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. Well, maybe this little thing matters, and it does. What I would think is that that man, that pastor, is actually jeopardizing his opportunity of full rule in the coming kingdom. When he stands before Jesus, Jesus is going to say, now, wait a moment, you know, you had that little thing. You signed this statement that didn't reflect your income. It was a little thing, right? Yeah, well, it was a little thing. Well, how am I going to entrust to you the true riches? How am I going to have you rule over 10 cities? Because you've been dishonest in the little thing. I can't entrust to you the bigger picture. Remember this, this life is a college entrance exam, so God will know where to slot us in the coming kingdom. Money is a test. It is a test of faithfulness or unfaithfulness. So that's the third principle. Money is a test. The fourth is that it reveals our loyalties. It reveals our loyalties. Notice what Jesus said in verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. You say, oh, yes, you can. I am. I'm sorry, but Jesus said you can't. Money reveals our hearts and our loyalties. And especially when we have lots of it and when we have almost none of it. It is all consuming. We think about it when we don't have enough, and we think about it when we have a lot. And it reveals our loyalties. And the Bible says you can't serve God and money. Jesus said that. It would be like dancing to two different tunes. You've got this band over here and this band over here, and you're trying to dance to both of the sets of music. You just can't do that. Let me tell you candidly that if money becomes your God, it will eventually become your devil. That's why the Bible warns about it so much. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, this message is rather strong. Yeah, I think it is, but it's Jesus here that I've got to deal with. You know, that's the problem. When you're committed to Jesus, you deal with him. Well, my friend, of course, I don't mean to say that Jesus Christ is the problem. I didn't mean it that way. Jesus Christ is not the problem. He is actually the solution. He's the one who helps us put everything in perspective and help us to understand the role of money in our lives. The reason I preach this series of messages is so that we might all understand, especially during this time when the economy is in such turbulence, that we might all understand what our responsibility is with the gifts that God has given to us. As I've told you before, my desire has always been for us to ask the Lord, what is it that you want me to do with what you have given to me? As I emphasize in these messages, if money is our God, eventually it will become a devil. Well, as you look around during this time of need, give wherever God prompts you to give. You have needy ones in your family or in your church, be generous with them. Those who have funds during this period of time especially, we need to be sensitive for what we can do with what God has given to us. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how you can receive these messages. Hope that you continue to listen on this sensitive topic of money, about which Jesus had so much to say. Thanks for joining us, and I'll see you next time.
That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more of Invest with Your ROI in Mind, another message in a four-part series on investing for eternity. The Bank of Heaven will never be closed by the feds, and the interest rate is amazing. Next time on Running to Win, tune in for more on Wise Investing with Eternal Dividends. All four messages on investing for eternity can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.